Can we walk this road together? I can't travel it alone. I need someone beside me to help me find my way back home.
Hello, this is Dan Prinzing, Executive Director of the Wasma Center for Human Rights in Boise, with Adam Thompson.
Hello.
Welcome to Voices of Idaho. Today we're talking with Esteban Galan. Now, I first met an association with Esteban when he sent a pretty dramatic post to our Facebook site after the vandalism in the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial. He felt like he needed to come and stand and protect the statue of Anne. It was a very compelling narrative on the importance of the memorial. But Esteban, today we're going to talk about you as a community innovator. How do you define that?
Yeah. I would say that a community innovator comes out of our tradition of community organizing. Traditionally, we have had folks who have been dedicated to their cities and their towns, who work to really bring the communities together to serve. I would just add that the community innovator takes that to the next step, where we're starting to identify leaders instead of develop folks into leadership. And we're identifying folks who have the same passion for the community, but are doing the work to be to explore what new ideas need to come by listening and working with our communities instead of working for our communities.
Who do you define as the community?
Yeah, I think there's probably different definitions of community, and I think it could be as small as your neighborhood. And as great as the state of Idaho. And so how are we impacting our needs with the coordination with which community to address those needs?
Excellent. When we look at the model of the spiral of injustice, of course, the whole model is built on the concept of the other. When the other within our community has been demeaned or marginalized, targeted, is there a particular level in the spiral that you'd like to talk about today?
I think I have a thought and a personal experience when I think about elimination, but specifically a cultural elimination. Growing up, I grew up in rural Idaho, and that was some of the best years of my life. But we may not even realize the small acts as individuals, but also as a community, might turn into this idea of cultural elimination. So growing up, and I wouldn't even be able to tell you when or where this started, but this is the legacy that I have out in Fruitland, Idaho. My high school reunion is coming around, and I will be introducing myself as Esteban Galan. And that's going to confuse some folks, because a lot of people know me as Steven. Somewhere between late elementary school and middle school, I think folks were having a hard time pronouncing Esteban. And so it just became a little bit easier if we just, if we translate to English, Esteban becomes Steven. And as the years went on, it just became normal to introduce myself as Steven. I would sign my work assignments as Steven. In fact, to the point where, as I got to high school, my roll call on the roster for the official documentation, I have school IDs that say Steven Galan. And teachers would do the roll call as beginning of the semester and start going down the list. Steven Galan. And I completely had no idea. I had no concept of what was happening until I had this one teacher. His name is Lowell Grant, and he's my history teacher, and he's going down the list, and we finally reach Steven Miguel Galan, and he pauses I was like, yes, I'm here. Lowell looks down at his sheet and then he looks back up at me. Steven Miguel Galan. And I was like, yep. Is that your name? Yeah, absolutely. That's my name. And he then paused for a minute and I could tell he was, there was gears working in his head. And then he asked again and paused the whole room. What does it say on your birth certificate? What do folks call you at home? Oh, Esteban. Would you like to be preferred name Esteban? And I said I didn't care. And he's like, well, how about in this classroom we'll call you Esteban? And so as the school year went along, I started realizing that other teachers started calling me Esteban. I had never once corrected anyone, and I did not take the time to make the difference for my name. In fact, it probably wasn't until I got to college that I started introducing myself as Esteban. I don't know what the conversations Lowell had with staff and administration, but my next year, my student ID card was now Esteban Galan. And it finally all hit home my freshman year of college. I was learning to get more involved at the multi-ethnic center, and Francisco Salinas was being introduced to me, and I got to introduce myself, and he asked how I like to pronounce my name. And I was like, oh, whatever works, like Esteban, what, just go ahead. I'll respond to anything. And Francisco, in his office, we sat down, and I don't know if he'll remember this as much as I do, and I'll remember this for the rest of my life. He asked me, quite simply, how do you pronounce your name? I need to know, because I know that's the only thing in these next 4 years at college that you're going to be for sure about. You're going to question everything else, your identity, your religion, your ethnic background. So the only identity you can be for sure is your name. So how would you like to say your name? And that was the beginning of finding myself again and what it meant to know who I am in my cultural identity.
This is Holly Afanita's words. Hateful words we use to drown each other in sorrow. Words used to break us and hurt us the most. Words that tear us apart, string by string. The ones close to us hurting us the most, calling us names and never knowing how much it hurts. Getting into our heads with words of hate, words sinking deeper and deeper with every day that goes by. Words that are stuck at the bottom and don't come up. Words that we're scared to say, so we never do. These words that we all say but never have to. Hate all over the world that we can stop but choose not to.
As long as I am listening, I can't help but think of the Shakespeare line, "What's in a name?" Well, as we know, there's a lot in a name. And it's a part of a person's identity. It's why we talk in terms on the spiral of elimination rather than genocide, because there are three forms of genocide: behavioral, cultural, and physical. Certainly, cultural identity can be eliminated. It sounds like there were some upstanders in your life. Yeah. How do you see them or define them?
Yeah, immediately, Lowell Grant is the first person that I identify as an upstander in my journey. And I think it gets intimidating for folks to think about who they need to be. And when they think about some old ABC programming, and people's bodies get nervous. What is it? How am I supposed to react in these situations? But it's more natural than that. It's who you decide to be as a human. And what I saw in Lowell Grant was that his desire to just know his community, just his desire to know his students, you will see the needs and your heart will tell you how to react and you can become a natural upstander. And just in his attempt to know who I was, brought healing back to who I'm supposed to be.
So how does that influence who and what you are today?
Wow. This is good. Because I think if it didn't begin with Lowell Grant back in high school, I would still be disembodied and disconnected to my cultural background. There's a lot of shame growing up. While this was a story about whitewashing my name, I whitewashed my identity. I quit playing soccer. I did not dare join the Future Hispanic Leaders of America. I needed to divorce that part of who I am. And so now I get to lean in and I'm a proud Latino community innovator. And that begins with just the small act of, how would you like me to pronounce your name?
Esteban, when we talk about the power of words, we're surrounded by the words that are etched into the stone of the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial. Is there a particular quote that speaks to you?
You know, it's hard. It's such a special space. And all the quotes, I think, hit me at a different time and speak to me at different periods in my life. But right now, I look at Frederick Douglass, and he speaks, "No man can put a chain about the ankle of his fellow man without a last finding the other and fastening around his own neck." We don't realize what we're doing to ourselves when we fail to be an upstander. It's a mutual pain for those who are stepping on and for ourselves who are stepping.
Esteban, thank you. The voices of Idaho, it's why we will continue to echo, not in our town, not in our state. Idaho is too great for hate.
So what we decided to do is when they asked us to leave, we didn't. We just stayed. And I think they took us out of the Capitol in handcuffs and belly chains, which seems a little over the top because many of us were just cramping grandmas. So we certainly weren't a threat to anybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wasmus Center podcast. The Voices of Idaho is created by Dan Prensing and produced and edited by me, Adam Thompson. Big thank you to our guest this week, Esteban Galan, for coming on and telling his story on the importance of a name. That clip you just heard was from Gretchen Bates, a local activist here in Boise. If you're interested in hearing more about her and learning her story, tune in next week, Monday the 19th. Thanks.